You're listening to DottoTech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
Joining me in studio now is Angela Crocker. Angela is an author. She's a speaker. She's a communication specialist. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Your book compelled me to contact you, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Creating a Social Network.
There's always that danger when you put the word idiot in a title.
Well, it's such a popular franchise. First, this book is out. It's a fairly new book. Just basically social networking 101, or is it more focused on corporations and enterprise as opposed to individuals?
It's somewhere in between. It's more focused on community groups, businesses that want to reach out to their users, product users, people they're service providing to, and then it can be scaled up to big corporate organizations, but you don't see a lot of individuals creating their own social network.
Okay, so creating a social network as opposed to social networking. The difference is I'm trying to build a community here. I'm trying to create some online momentum.
Well, the way I look at it is I divide social networking as an activity from social media as a tool. So I consider things like Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn that are familiar social networks as social media tools that we use to create communities.
Okay.
And the action that we take within those communities is called social networking. It's way older than computers. We've been doing it since the dawn of time. It's about that personal interaction that happens. And in this case, we now have the opportunity to do it across distance and time through the computer.
So why are the most compelling reasons that individuals need to develop the skills to know how to create a social network?
Well, among the things that people are most concerned about is actually privacy and control of data.
Okay.
When you build a social network on Facebook, which lots of people do, and many people use the advice in the book to do just that. But when you reach out to your community, you're at the mercy of Facebook. They're getting the benefit of all the collective data about your users, the advertising dollars that are possible, the advertising revenue that you might invest. And you don't quite know what's going to happen with the data that you have. So having control of your own network allows you to give your participants really guidelines that says, this is how we're going to use your data. We're going to be transparent about it, or maybe not. I guess there are some that would create a network and use the data as they see fit. But it gives them great control. And those are really the main reasons people do it.
So I'm a little bit confused. If I'm creating my own social network, am I bypassing those tools of LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter, or am I using those tools? Because what you're saying, I'm kind of hearing two things now. I'm hearing that that if I use those tools, I'm losing control. But I thought I had to use those tools.
Well, quite honestly, you do.
Okay.
Creating an online community, whether you want to create your own private space or you want to use an existing space, you're going to end up doing the existing spaces because people aren't going to come to your new community without you guiding them to it. So just as with a website, with a blog, we're all accustomed now to having outreach or outposts on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Google+, all of these new darlings that who knows what's going to be around in a year's time. And so we need those kind of outposts in order to draw people to our communities. The idea is to think of your online community as an entire ecosystem, not just the little bit of real estate where your private community exists.
Okay. So your private community would be your own website, which nobody can create as much interaction in as you're going to get on one of the other big sites.
Exactly.
So what? So where do we parcel it? Do we use the LinkedIns and the Facebooks of the world to draw people to it? Because there's something... There are some barriers to that. People are concerned about using Facebook for business. They're concerned about the perception of using it to draw people in. So how do we then use these tools to effectively bring people into our domain, which is our own website?
Well, it comes from a blend of online and offline marketing. Using tools like Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn will sort of direct people to your community. And if they're interested, they're going to sign up and become part of your community separate from their participation anywhere else on the internet. However, a lot of the participation in your private community might come from other activities, traditional advertising, public speaking, teaching engagements, writing books, being part of conferences, and just the networking that
happens.
Doing
a radio show.
Doing a radio show. Exactly. So there's this blend that happens, and how people find their way to your community is going to depend on who your target market is. market is.
Okay, so for the average, I guess there is no average person, but some rough guidelines then. Where do you, what sort of advice do you give people about the sort of type of information that you want to gather as people come to your site? For example, at my site, you can go and you can participate fully in my site without ever signing up and becoming a member. I just want it to be that way. If you want to become a member and you want to get the newsletter, you have to sign up for the newsletter. But other than that, you can come and you can look at all the data and content that I have at my site without me ever knowing who you are. Am I doing it right?
That's how I do it. So okay. I would say yes. Yes, I am exactly the same thing. My data and information is there for anyone who wants to use it. There is an opt-in email newsletter if anybody wants to subscribe. For the average user making that decision about whether or not to create a community, there's a whole series of things to consider. You know, what do you want to create? What's your objective? Why are you doing it? There's no build it and they will come on the internet. There's literally tens of thousands of these social networks that have been built, many of which serve such niche interests that they only have a dozen or maybe 100 members. And that's all the people on the whole planet who would ever be interested.
So tell me, in your research, because you did a lot of research before you wrote the book.
I sure did.
Give me an example of a brilliantly integrated social network where a company where you just said, oh, wow, these people get it. And then I'm going to ask you to give me an example of people who just had no clue.
Well, one of my favorite examples, and I've talked about it before, is a site called The Pioneer Woman.
Okay.
And within The Pioneer Woman.
I'm a member.
You are a member. Excellent.
No, I'm only kidding.
I knew you were a pioneer.
I don't think I'm either, actually.
All right. But, well, within The Pioneer Woman, if you were to join, you would find a community called The Tasty Kitchen, which is sort of a subgroup within the Pioneer Women community, which is interested in food and recipes and putting meals on the table and entertaining and all the kind of ancillary things that go with that. I think they've done a brilliant job of integrating the two, where there's tremendous amount of content available, lots and lots of people obviously visiting and participating, volunteering their recipes, commenting on others, sharing variations, improvements, all of this stuff that's happening spontaneously by the users. The owner of the network only sparks that interaction. I think that's the sign of a really successful network, is when the users of the network
got engaged.
Get engaged, exactly.
Absolutely. So who should have been successful, but you just looked at it and went, oh man, so let's throw somebody under the bus.
Well, there's one group that comes to mind, and I can only sort of remember part of them. It's not that I'm trying to dodge the question. But they're a live action role play group. So one of these LARPing groups that goes out.
I've never heard of that.
LARPing? Oh, this is...
I've never heard of LARPing. Is that like the historical reenactments?
That's one way of doing it. There's vampire ones. There's Roman conquerors.
Art, which one are you in?
None, thank you.
Oh, come on. You're in the Filipino comedian one.
Yes, there's only three of us.
Perfect. Like I said, there's lots of niche communities out there.
Okay.
So this particular LARPing group, they have an online community. They seem to be a very technically savvy group of people. But somehow they missed the boat. Like they have conversations. I can see them. I'm not a member of the community, but what I can see publicly, they're talking over one another. They're organizing something for Saturday while somebody else is organizing something for Saturday. And so I think the owner of the network actually had some work to do in order to moderate and make some connections and bring people together so that they were working towards a common purpose. That's why the community exists in the first place. And they've kind of missed the boat, which is too bad.
So before you create a social network, I think you need a baseline of understanding of all of the social media.
I would agree completely.
So in order of importance and kind of if we've got listeners, because we've got a lot of baby boomers out there that may or may not be online yet or really getting down with the whole social media
side. Sure, but they are the biggest growing demographic in
many
social networks.
So what order of engagement would you recommend for them as they start on their journey?
Well, if they are participating as just citizen average person of interest, I would actually suggest starting with Facebook.
Perfect.
It's a big network. There's 800 million users. If you cannot find a few people to talk to, then maybe you don't need to be social networking online. You need to get out and find some new friends. It's fairly simple to use. It's free to sign up. And there's lots of ways to engage. Whether if you're a gamer, there's all those built-in games that I personally have blocked. They drive me insane.
Yes.
The Farmville and the Mafia Wars and all those things. But if that's your thing, you can do it on Facebook.
A lot of people like that start, yeah.
Exactly. If you're about shopping and brands, there's all kinds of brands you can follow that are doing interesting things.
Do you share people people's initial concern around privacy, because that's always the anybody who, it seems to me like anybody who's resisting Facebook at this point is resisting for a reason. It's because they've got a reason. And the number one overriding reason is they don't want Facebook to own their information. They don't want their, you know, that sort of stuff. Do you think that's a legitimate concern?
Up to a point. I think people need to educate themselves around the issues of privacy and what they are sharing or not sharing. And I teach a workshop at Douglas College for business entrepreneurs, many of whom are in that 40-something plus category. And they have this fear about Facebook, and it's all about privacy. And so I talk about something I call the 3P spectrum. This isn't in the book. It's just something I use in the classroom.
Fair enough.
But for me, the 3Ps are private, personal, and professional. And your professional self has to be out in the world. Your personal self makes you more interesting than the person who talks shop all the time. And your private self should really stay offline. Mm-hmm. And I even go so far as to use Ernie and Bert as an analogy. So their professional lives is all about education. They teach children the letter M, the number 2, how to play nice, how to share. That's their professional lives. We also know a little bit about their personal lives. We know that Ernie likes to have rubber ducks in his bubble bath. And we know that Bert has pigeons on the roof. What we don't know and what we will never know is whether Ernie's filed for bankruptcy or Bert suffers from hemorrhoids. So there's this very private part.
Okay. You're right. We don't know that. We don't know about the Muppets. Yes, plumbing.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that, and so Facebook is, and I agree with you, it's the start. And it's really your responsibility. Don't share anything that you don't want to share.
Absolutely.
That you feel uncomfortable sharing.
I think people should also take a moment and educate themselves about the privacy settings.
Yes.
Even just signing up, knowing that the default settings are probably not what they want, and making that one of their first stops that first time they log in before they've shared any content. Just to crank it back to friends only, that's a safe place to start.
And I think for most people that is, if you are a person that's steeped in business, if you're all about business communication and stuff, instead of starting with Facebook, LinkedIn.
I would agree.
And that's how I found you, is that you just happened to come up as a contact in LinkedIn, and I quite often read through people I may know or should know. I can't know how they don't know how they name
it. I think they change it just to confuse people.
Yeah, but I always look through that, and I found, you know, quite a few guests for the show and other people that live in the area that I think I should know. And I just fired off a quick email to you, and you fired it back to me, and within a couple of months we had you on the show, and I had a free book, so it's worked out well for me.
That's a good deal.
And I'd like to come back and kind of circle back maybe at another visit and talk to you about LinkedIn. But you mentioned one community which is I think is the fastest growing community right now, which is Pinterest.
Yes.
And since you mentioned the mothers of pioneers, what were they called?
Pioneer women.
Pioneer women, sorry.
That's all right.
And it seems to me a very crafty community, and I'm a little bit afraid of this community at Pinterest, but tell me about Pinterest, because it's hit my radar.
Sure. Well, Pinterest is still in a invitation-only sort of semi-beta system. So,
is it really?
Yeah, you have to be invited by somebody who's on the inside in order to get in. I'll hook you up if you like, Steve.
Well, I don't know if I want to hook up.
Well, the thing about Pinterest is it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, because it started out with artists, crafters, foodies, photographers, people who love pets of varying, you know, dogs, cats, whatever, sharing photos and being really connected. What's now happened is it's on the radar of the marketing world. And if I get one more invitation to an invitation, maximize your Pinterest marketing potential, reach new users, I'm probably going to kill someone. Okay. I just said that.
That's it. Remember that private, personal, public thing?
You just broke your rules. I did.
Radio is sort of like Facebook. I'm telling you right now, people listen.
Yes.
Okay. So, but Pinterest is all about, so the philosophy behind it is I just basically find something interesting and tag it? Is it kind of
you
like...
You pin it. And think of it as digital bulletin boards. Have you ever had a vision board in your office or been forced to take a course or something where you had to make a collage of what you love or what you want to vision yourself? You can use Pinterest as though you have an infinite number of bulletin boards available to you. So I have one bulletin board that's crafts. I have one that's food. I have one that's places I'd like to go. One that's books I'd like to read.
And then it populates because of people who are your friends in Pinterest and what they like? Is that where the feed of ideas comes to your board?
Partially. When you install when you sign up for Pinterest, you can install in your browser a little pin it button.
Okay.
Just as you can share it to Facebook button, those kinds of things. So anything I stumble across on the internet that has an image attached to it, I can pin it to Pinterest. At the same time, I have people that I follow. So every user of Pinterest has friends, followers, fans. It's hard to know what the terminology is going to flesh out to be. And so when you log into Pinterest, you can see your own boards, but more likely you're going to browse through the boards of other people and see what other people have pinned. And just as in Facebook or other social networks, if you're interested, you can give it a like or you can share it to your own boards.
Okay. I'm looking at bathrooms now. Art's browsing through bathroom pictures.
Fantastic. Thanks, Art.
Is that yours?
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
good.
But I have a bathroom in desperate need of renovation.
Well,
that's
that would
inspiring.
Be expensive to do. Okay. So, well, thanks for the. I realize we've kind of morphed away from creating a social network to talking about Pinterest, but you're the first person I've had on the show that kind of gets Pinterest, so I needed to ask you about that. So, creating a social network, it's available from your major booksellers, it's available in digital and online.
Yes, yeah. Amazon, Chapters Online, bookstores,
we'll
absolutely.
We'll put a link to it, and anybody who's. You don't have to be a competitor to use it, but it helps.
It does help, I suppose so.
Good. Angela Crocker is my guest. Links to her website, which she does marketing communications and advice for companies, is here as well. I guess you have listings of your courses that you teach there?
I sure do, yeah, all at beachcombercommunications.com.
Awesome. Angela Crocker is my guest. I'm Steve Dotto, and you're tuned in to Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.